This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Bud Shaw joins us on the show. Bud, thanks for joining us today, my friend.
Hey, guys. I was in Florida for more than a couple weeks in March. Did I miss anything?
Well, yeah. Everything came to a standstill. Well, technically, no, because everything came to a standstill.
Yeah, I guess not,
so,
right?
Yeah, now it's just hearsay and rumors and innuendo and everything else to that. Hey, let me throw something by you here. Because we were talking about this earlier, and I think you're the best barometer. You've been here for a very long time. But when it comes to, like, Lima was watching the Cal Ripken Jr. Ceremony yesterday when Cal Ripken Jr. broke the streak, and they were driving
him. I was actually lucky enough to be there for that. I was in Baltimore for that. I was, yes.
Wow. Okay, so where does that stand for you in all-time records, like all-time things to be broken? Is that an incredible accomplishment, or is it a bit overrated? Because Lima happened to notice that there were some people online going, why are they showing this? Who really cares?
Yeah, you know, there was a little bit of pushback on that, I think, even as it was going on. It wasn't widespread that there were some people who believed that, you know, it was like the perfect attendance record, right? Well, you just kept showing up, and they put you in the lineup once you got to a certain point because they didn't want to be responsible for the streak coming to an end. But I think there was a lot more to that, and I was really impressed with Ripken, not only in the way he played the position at his, you know, he's a big guy, you know, it wasn't easy playing that position for as many years as he did and staying, you know, relevant and good and healthy and all of that. So I'm of the other school that thinks that was a pretty amazing accomplishment when you consider the wear and tear that these guys have on their bodies.
Well, take that, Ken Carmen.
Well, I thought it was a decent. I didn't think it was as good as I said earlier. I said Pete Rose to me was more impressive.
Well, it's not that I'm not impressed.
But I was like Pete Rose, and I'm not even a fan of Pete Rose. So
no, I mean I would say the same of you know 56 game hitting streak and things like that. Yeah, I wasn't putting it at the top of any list, but I think in retrospect when I see what. You know, the attrition that happens, you know, over the course of 162 games. And I know people think, well, all they do is stand out there and wait for the ball to get hit to them. But there really is a lot more to it than that.
Yes.
Well, but
I remember,
but it's
you know,
just Ken.
I remember going when Cal Ripken came in town during that streak, when he was really tired of talking about it. I remember going over and talking to him about Omar and about what he saw and admired in the way Omar played the position and vice versa, talked to Omar about Ripken and Omar, you know, whether he was just telling me what I wanted to hear was really effusive in his praise for how Ripken played that position, even at, you know, at his size. He certainly wasn't as good defensively as Omar, but he was still pretty good.
I just think, Bud, that Ken is being disingenuous because he knows years from now when we go to celebrate Joe Thomas's consecutive snap streak, he's going to be watching and reveling in every moment of that.
What is he supposed? Okay, what else are we supposed to celebrate with an offensive lineman, Anthony? I ask you. What pass? If Joe Thomas, you know what? If Joe Thomas had 100 yards passing at some point in his career, we'd be going, holy cow, an offensive lineman has 100 yards passing some way, somehow. So he's got to have something going for him.
Oh, I miss you guys. Go ahead.
Yeah. We're joined by Bud Shaw right now on the hotline. So we just had a heated debate. Can you be a true diehard Browns fan if you opt to be a little more dialed in to the Masters on a Sunday in November while the Browns are playing?
Well, I think we need to see who's in contention on that Sunday. If it's, if it's Tiger, I think you get a pass for watching that on Sunday. If it's Mike Weir, how about that for a name from out of the past?
Wow.
Then I think you're in trouble as a Browns fan if you turn the Masters on. Hey, I probably have a more biased opinion than most because I'm a big golf fan, so I will watch the Sunday Masters no matter what's going on.
Well, but I even thought of this. I was like, Tiger won it last year. If it were Tiger and Phil, maybe you click back and forth. But I didn't realize it was a referendum on your Browns fandom. I mean, it turned into a real knockdown dragout of people calling each other out for not being Browns fans for watching the Masters. The Masters is still a major championship and maybe the most prolific of the major championships. And it's still only once a year, even though that only in, 5 months after that, we're going to have another Masters.
Yeah, and when are the Browns playing that day? We don't know, right? So if it's a 1 o'clock game against an opponent that you're not too excited about, or a 4 o'clock game against an opponent you're not too excited about, you might switch over. That's all I would say. But I love the Masters. I lived in Atlanta for 6.5 years. We covered it, with a team of reporters and who got a house down there, and it was one of the great weeks of my sports writing career to be down there walking those grounds and writing about a sport that I really liked.
Bud Shaw joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I become frustrated over something to begin the show today. And
that doesn't sound like you, Ken.
Yeah, I know. But Lima kind of worked me into a shoot, though, because I got a little bit upset because I have the same fans. When Sashi Brown got fired, and then Andrew Berry was technically a part of that, Sashi's gone. A couple years later, they bring back Andrew Berry. Well, Andrew Berry takes over, and before free agency, it's, we can't really expect a whole bunch. Sashi was not about spending money, even though he did spend money on certain free agents. He was not about spending money, and then Andrew Berry goes out and spends the most on Austin Hooper and brings in Jack Conklin. Now they're rumored to be going after Jadeveon Clowney. And I'm hearing the same fans who told me not to expect anything in free agency tell me, well, you don't win in the regular season by winning free agency. It's the same old Browns. Okay, well, what the hell am I supposed to do over here? They fired people because they were supposed to be a playoff team last year, and now I'm being told, well, you really can't expect anything out of this team, when Andrew Berry obviously expects something out of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it can only be seen as a positive what they've done so far, because even if you don't like a couple of the individual signings, which I happen to like most of them, I thought most people argued last time that they were upset with that regime because they had no interest in winning. So now the guy comes out of the gate and shows that, these are different times. He shouldn't be held accountable for what happened back then. And now he's chasing, good players that should make them contenders for playoffs. So I don't see anything wrong with what they've done at all. I think it's been pretty impressive.
So with all of that said, I know we haven't even had the NFL draft yet, and we know every fan base, they love their drafts, and they think the team has gotten better after every draft than they were before. But where are the Browns in comparison to where they were last year, which was a 6-10 disappointing season?
Yeah, I have to admit that I didn't see the 6-10 coming. I thought that they'd be closer to 9-7 or 10-6. And I just think if people can separate themselves and from last season and give, a little bit of hindsight into to just seeing like how bad the coaching was. And I really believe that. I was all in favor of replacing Freddie. I don't think he knew what he was doing outside of being a position coach. And I don't understand why anybody could look at this team right now and not see, a team that is basically a left tackle away from being a contender. And I could be dead wrong again, but that's the way I look at it. I think they've done impressive things in the offseason. I think Baker Mayfield's better than what we saw last year, and I suspect that they're going to be a team that's if I had to pick them in the division right now, I would pick them against maybe second to the Ravens and ahead of both Pittsburgh and clearly the Bengals.
Oh, Lima, we got to do it. Whoa!
Whoa!
It's hard to
wow. I mean, what do you guys see? Do you see do you see 6-10, 7-9? If they get a stud left tackle in the draft,
I could see 8-8, 9-7 again. And Lima, again, I'll defer to you here in just a second, but I think it could just end up being a tough division, bud. I think, especially with the extra playoff spot, like there is a possibility they could play in a division with three really good football teams. Maybe Cincinnati will be an up and comer with Joe Burrow. And that division could be maybe the best division in the AFC.
Well, I guess it comes down to how much you believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because, yeah, I would agree with you about the Ravens. I don't think they're going away anytime soon. I think they have some holes defensively, but they're good at the most important position. And we know they're good at head coach also. So, but I still have some doubts that Pittsburgh, that Ben Roethlisberger is going to play a full season, and that Pittsburgh is going to be that team that, you know, has tormented the Browns for all these years.
All right, Bud Shaw, join us on the hotline. They still have the most money to actually spend if they want to. Do you think they go after Jadeveon Clowney?
You know, I've been a little bit removed from that, so I feel like I might not be on top of it like you guys have been. Just from afar, to me, it seems like an awful lot of money to spend for, an extended number of years when you can hold on to Olivier Vernon for a year. And I know he was disappointing last year, but I thought when he was on the field that he played pretty well at times. So that would be more the direction I would go, but I could see why they'd have interest. If you could get another pass rusher like that on the other side of Garrett and keep Garrett on the field, I mean, that improves that defense tremendously.
But if you were in charge of Major League Baseball, what would be the season this year?
You know, that's a great question, Ken. I mean, it's easy to sit back and cast, aspersions on what this plan to play in 106-degree weather and sequester players for 4.5 months away from their families. I don't see that as being feasible at all. But clearly we've got to come up with some, plan B here, depending on how long this thing lasts. I feel like 80 games is going to almost be hard to do at this point. And then it becomes, a question of how legitimate is the season. But they're going to have to try to do something. And if they don't, I can't see it being canceled right now. I've talked to a couple people who cover Major League Baseball who haven't ruled out that possibility. But I guess I don't have a great answer for you. I'm sorry.
Well, it's so tough because, the projections show some more positive news as the days have gone on. But it's still like, well, just because we can go back to work doesn't mean we shouldn't be social distancing when this is hopefully ending sooner than we originally might have thought. So
yeah, right. What did you guys think of the Arizona plan?
I thought it was I think it's very taxing, and again I think it's almost too much of a liability right now, because if one of those guys ends up getting it, then you have to shut it down again, and I'd rather start and keep going instead of something in fits and starts or anything like that. But I'm fine with playing without fans. That's, to me, pro sports are a giant TV show. I'm more worried about college sports in that case, but I'd rather, you got to be careful if you're going to start doing that. And I think May is, I think May's very early for that.
May kind of makes you flinch a little bit. Like, I mean, what do you do if you start something like this? And we all know that players over the course of the season, you show up at the ballpark and they're not there because they've needed a day or two for personal reasons, whether it's a sick family member or whatever. I mean, what do you do with some of these guys when that happens and they go back home and they're exposed to, sick kids or sick relatives, and then they come back and they're back in the, in the hotel again with their, it just seems like a recipe for starting a season, having guys test positive, and then trying to shut it down again. And I that's why May scares me so much.
It makes your sport look terrible too. It really
does. I agree. And I know some people feel that baseball needs, it would really help baseball if they were the only show in town, for a while. But that just seems too risky to me.
This is an ugly way to ask it, but I got to ask it. This is going to be a bad ending to Francisco Lindor's time if they play like a 60-game season. Because it's probably at the end after this year, I'd assume, right, Bud? So it's kind of, that's it. This is not going to be fun.
If he ends up, what's the proposal right now that if they canceled the season, these guys would, a guy like him would still get credit for that service time. So I could see why everybody involved wants to try to get a few games in, but you just wonder if it turns into a 50 or 60 game season, whether the Indians would, you know, readdress the whole keeping Lindor for this season thing. I mean, and it wouldn't be the best time to trade him, obviously, but if you get down to where he's the only possibility is to have him for one playoff run, then you've really hurt the leverage you had in trying to trade him.
I know that you talked about the proposal on if they can speed this up and get baseball being played in Arizona come May, even if it's not May. They've talked about doubleheaders, seven innings each. They've talked about no mound visits, and they've talked about robot umpires, essentially a digital strike zone. I actually am excited that if ever there was a time to tinker an experiment, this is the time. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked, and you, I think, have, Anthony, about the umpire situation in the past. I think there may be a couple of things that we look back on this in a few years, that things that came out of this crisis and became part of the game. I don't know if they're ready to pull all that off right now. I wouldn't feel like it was necessarily a shoddy or illegitimate product if they did a seven innings with a couple doubleheaders. Now, I know that would affect a lot of the stats in baseball and all that, but they're going to have, these are certainly unusual circumstances. If you're ever going to be creative, which baseball's always gotten criticized for not being, proactive or whatever, now's the time to do it.
Bud, we can't thank you enough for the good times. Follow this guy on Twitter at Bud Shaw. Bud, hopefully we'll talk to you again very, very soon, buddy.
Yeah, great talking to you guys again. Take care.
You too. The great Bud Shaw on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Liked what he had to say about a lot of that stuff. I mean, there's a bit of a positive attitude about it, and there's also, well, if we have a truncated season, which we certainly will at some juncture, I don't know if it's a 60-game season or an 80-game season or whatever it becomes, that's probably the end of what we're going to see with Francisco Lindor. So that part, unforeseen circumstances, Anthony, but that part certainly does suck for a regular Indians fan or a hardcore Indians fan or whoever might be an Indians fan in general. I know we've had that argument today about the Browns, but still.
It gets really interesting because we haven't really openly talked about whether or not a shorter season is going to be a huge hindrance to the Indians, or could it actually be a positive? Because, look, depending on how much talent you think the Indians have, you still think they have a great manager. You still think when everyone gets healthy that your pitching rotation still could be decent. And you never know with a lineup. Obviously, there's some limitations there with payroll, but wouldn't you rather have a shorter season and longer season if you didn't think you were as talented as some of the other teams? It's not like we were going to wave the white flag this year.
I think I want to jump into a little bit of that next. 216-578-0092. Also, I think some of you are just afraid to hear some good news about the Cleveland Browns this offseason. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.